Well, we just heard some pretty harsh words from Jesus that the reason they do not hear the word of Jesus is because they are not of God, but in fact their father is the devil, Satan. I suspect many people would hear that reading and think, well, that doesn't sound very Christian. But it's true. It's true. That's what's important. It's true. As I said in the introduction, today is a day we celebrate the baptism of Jesus, the beginning of his ministry on earth. And to remind you, as I've spoken before, that there are three baptisms in the Bible. Today we celebrate the water baptism of Jesus, which we're told is for the repentance of the forgiveness of sins. But then there's also the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which the disciples received on the day of Pentecost. Finally, there is the baptism of fire. And I've given three references there in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The baptism of fire is a baptism of suffering. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, we are children of God and heirs of the kingdom of God, quote, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. Now, I believe that we, the church, are headed for an increased time of the baptism of suffering. I believe America as we know it is passing away. Indeed, the world as we know it is passing away. We observed some amazing things this week with the riots in the Capitol building and the Senate's confirmation that Donald Trump would not be reelected. Many, many people prayed and prayed that God would keep the socialists from gaining control of our government. And God answered our prayers. God said, no, I'm not going to keep them from gaining control of the government. The socialists, liberals, left wing, they control our education system. You see what's happening in our colleges and universities. They control our intelligence community, the things we saw about the things against Trump and his campaign when he was being elected. They control the courts. You know, states brought claims against other states, and the Supreme Court said, well, we're just not going to listen to that. We heard court after court not even want to hear the evidence about the voting systems. They control law enforcement, the FBI. They control the military. They control certainly the entertainment industry. They control our healthcare system. All this stuff about COVID going on. I wish we could just know the truth about what's happening. They control the financial system. They control Wall Street. In the midst of all the stuff and turmoil that's been going on this week, Wall Street has hit record highs. Isn't that amazing? They certainly control the media. They control the internet. How amazing it is that Facebook, I just saw a thing this morning, Apple and Google have banned Parler because Parler is in competition with Facebook, so they've now banned Parler. They're not even going to allow it to be on the internet. Talk about, you know, violating freedom of speech. But they control the internet. Now they control the voting system. Many allegations made that there was corruption, many signed affidavits, some videos. I just wish somebody would, you know, the FBI would have investigated and said, yes, this stuff is true or no. There's no validation of this. But we didn't get any of that. And if they control the voting system now, certainly it's not going to be looked into over the next 2 and 4 years. Well, now they control both houses of Congress, and they control the presidency. So again, I say, we the church, I believe, are headed towards a baptism of suffering, a suffering that we, in our lifetime, have never known. Now first, I think we need to be reminded that this battle has never been against flesh and blood. As Paul was very specific in his letter to the Ephesians, our battle is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It, first and foremost, is a spiritual battle that's going on and has been going on. These people who are now controlling our government are evil. It seems harsh to say that, but their father is the devil, and they are seeking to do what their father has done. which is lie, corrupt, steal, destroy. They are children of the devil, either knowingly or unknowingly. But I believe just the same. They are of their father, the devil, and their will is to do their father's will. And they disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. We're told that in the scriptures. Again, I was surprised to see how quickly the media was jumping on the riots that broke into the Capitol building and claiming that these were all Trump supporters, when in fact there was evidence that there were some Antifa people there, and some who were there gave, you know, some witnesses that there were others that were egging them on. And if you just think about the strategy of that, of course it would make sense that if you want to get the other side in trouble or, you know, dismiss their goal, what you do is you infiltrate the group and then you do horrible things. And that's part of this strategy of what Saul Alinsky, I'd heard that once, if you want to discredit Christians in terms of homosexuality, you don't just stand up and say, good for homosexuality. What you do is you infiltrate a conservative meeting and you stand up and you say something outlandish about homosexuality, and that gets on the news and they say, look at these conservatives, look at these Christians. They're so full of hate. That's how the system works. And so they infiltrate. And so that's very possible. I don't know if it was all of it, but certainly possible. But it is amazing how quickly they, again, the media was to jump on that and to discredit that and to then apply that blame to all of Trump's supporters. When Antifa and Black Lives Matter were tearing down, you know, downtown Portland and Minneapolis and burning buildings, there was no connection to saying, oh, look what's happening to all Democrats. The double standard to me is just amazing. And so we see, I see them disguising themselves as servants of righteousness and their mission as of their father to steal, to kill, and to destroy. One simple fact that I believe is just absolutely undeniable, and I believe very telling, is that because of the results of these elections, more innocent babies are going to die. I mean, I don't think anybody can deny that. Because of the results of these elections, more innocent babies are going to die. Well, the second thing I think we need to keep in mind is that this kind of injustice and lawlessness that we're seeing, you know, it seems that laws don't matter. The Constitution says, you know, elections must be held some way, and the courts say, well, that doesn't matter. This kind of injustice and lawlessness, it is new to us, I believe, in America. But it's certainly not new in the world. America has been truly unique as far as an experiment of democracy and government. Most of the people for the last 2,000 years have been living under injustice and oppressive governments. Certainly that was true in the time of Peter when he wrote his letter. So it's not new, and so what we find in Peter, I believe, is a good response. What is the Christian response to the kind of lawlessness that we're seeing, the changes that we're seeing, the lack of morality that we're seeing? Well, let's listen to some of the things that we had heard. Peter wrote, quote, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation. Saying, keep our conduct honorable. I think that's very important. He says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Be subject, why? For the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors. That's a pretty clear instruction from Scripture. Be subject to all institutions. It goes on to say, for this is the will of God, that by good deeds you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Honor the emperor. For us, honor the president, honor the presidency. It's very clear. For this is a gracious thing. Grace means whether they deserve it or not, we honor the presidency. And again, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For when he, Jesus, suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So if we find ourselves being judged unjustly, what we do is what Jesus did. We commit ourselves, we entrust ourselves to him who does judge justly. We put our hope, our faith in God. Again, I remind us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is a spiritual battle. And so Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians that our weapons in this battle are not of the flesh. Our weapons are not carnal. But our weapons have divine power to destroy these strongholds. And that primary weapon is prayer. And so we pray, we pray, we pray. And then we put our trust in God, who is worthy of all trust, because he is trustworthy. Now, I just want to end by, again, putting this in context. As we see things changing in our culture, in our universities, in the media, on the internet, and all that, can be mind-boggling. But I think to take the summary of what Peter is saying here is that we need to remember that first and foremost, all of these issues get down to the idea of the church being able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. I love our country. I know many of us are just distraught to see the way things are happening in the country. We just had wished it'd been otherwise and so forth. But ultimately, we as a church are concerned with the ability and the mission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when I look back through the examples that are given to us in Scripture, if you remember, John the Baptist spoke against the government. He spoke against Herod and said, Herod, you shouldn't be with your brother's wife. Well, John got his head chopped off for that. The very thing was going on as Jesus was doing, and Jesus never spoke against that. Never spoke against it. If we see the writings of Paul, Paul never spoke against the emperor or the oppression of the Romans. We see in Peter's letter, never spoke against the oppression that was going on, and yet we know that that oppression was great. We'd have to ask ourselves, why? Why would they not address things like slavery and the oppression of the high taxation and all those things that were going on? Because I believe first and foremost, their concern was, do we have the ability to preach the gospel and tell them about salvation through Jesus Christ? So I believe, again, we need to keep that as a church in mind. And we want to do nothing that would affect our ability to honestly and with integrity proclaim that gospel of Jesus Christ. I think that's what Peter's saying here. Have our conduct good. Be do good things. And so we don't want anything to hinder our ability to, with integrity, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But also, we will not accept anything that keeps us or hinders us from proclaiming that gospel as well. My brothers and sisters in Christ, these are amazing times. Come, Lord Jesus. That's why I keep finding myself, oh, come, Lord Jesus. We're ready. I do believe the kingdom of God is coming. We need to keep that in focus, keep that in mind. So truly, the best is yet to come. Never lose hope, because God, our God, really does love us more than we can imagine. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, Heavenly Father, in the midst of the events of this week, with our government, the culture, all the things that can cause concern, just, Lord, help us not to lose our joy as we keep our focus, our eyes on you, the perfecter of our faith, the redeemer of our souls. So, Lord, may we be good examples as we live in this world, to honor the emperor, the presidency, to be good citizens, to be faithful to all institutions as you have directed and commanded us to be, that in all things, Lord, your gospel would be proclaimed to those who need to hear this message of salvation. And so, Lord, keep us ever mindful of this focus and this goal and this purpose. We ask all this in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.